who you are, sweetheart.
ESPN. 97.5. KFNC. Mont Belvieu, Houston.
All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Welcome in, sports mappers, to the fray that we call The Usual Suspects. If you're a usual suspect, then you've been already listening for the first 2 hours right here on ESPN 97.5. But now we are simulcasting on SportsMap 94.1, which we'll do till 4, Blitz will do till 7. All along the way, you don't have to do a damn thing, and you get the best damn entertainment and sports in the city of Houston, Texas. And I said entertainment and sports.
I noticed, yeah, you said best damn. That reminded me. When I was in L.A., I got there Saturday, right? Yeah. And we went to see Jerry Rocha, who filled in for me on Friday. Yes. He was at the Brea Improv, and he was featuring for Tom Arnold.
Oh, really?
Of the best damn sports show, period. And Tom was a stand-up. He used to write for Roseanne when he was married to Roseanne. He was a writer for the show. And Jerry comes out, kills it. And then Tom comes out, and he was bad.
Really?
It was not good.
A lot of people do the whenever they hear the name or anything, they're like, whatever the hell happened to Tom Arnold?
Yeah, he told stories, and they were interesting. But as far as just coming out and telling jokes and making you laugh, it wasn't what I had expected. I'm glad I didn't pay for it. I mean, Jerry got us in just to hang out in the back and watch. But it wasn't great. It wasn't great. And then, I was kind of disappointed.
Has he lost his game? Like, what's the deal? Was it just one bad set, do you think? Or is he performing like this?
No, I think that's his thing now. That's his shtick now. He just tells the stories of him and Roseanne. And
I guess he can still live off his name and still sell out,
right? It's kind of like when you see guys like Mick Foley and Jake the Snake Roberts and these cats that tour and they do shows at comedy clubs. It's not a comedy show. It's a one-man show. It's a spoken word show. It's
like
a
reminiscing, walking
it's
in
story
the park
time,
kind of
but
thing.
You're not. And some of the anecdotes might be, whatever the hell.
Anecdotes.
Yeah, it might
you're
be
gonna get
funny.
That on, people are going to correct you.
Yeah,
Twitter.
I don't give it. I almost cursed. But save your stupid ass tweets.
You asked what happened to Tom Arnold. Did he fall off the face of the earth? Well, he did that when he got done with Roseanne.
Yep.
And then he literally fell off the face of the earth because he was married to her and she's huge.
Yes.
Now, Nick, she's no Big Al, but you can rip on her. But then he was there for a while. Like Barry said, he even resurrected his career by going Best Damn Sports Show.
Yep.
And
then he had that fight. Was it with Strahan?
Did he have a fight
on the set, on the air, live? It was great.
I do know he talked about the fact that John Sally was blessed and that was a known thing that Sally was well endowed.
Oh, really?
And and so he asked it when he said, when I first met him, you know, you want to break the ice because you're about to go do this show together. And I didn't know what to say. So I knocked on his dressing room door and he opened it up. And I was like, hey, John Sally, I'm Tom Arnold. He was like, nice to meet you. He goes, I heard you're well endowed. And Sally was like, yeah, you want to see it? And then that was it. And he showed it to him. And then there you go. And that's how that started. So I found that to be quite interesting. Joel did the same thing to me when we first started. Never mind. That didn't happen.
No.
That didn't happen.
There was no Billy Club. There was no tripod. There was no show and tell.
None of that.
Nope.
Couple of news and notes from the NFL before we continue. Out of Texans camp, Jadeveon Clowney fully participated in practice Monday.
About time.
Yeah, first time since training camp began, so that's good news. Giants' Saquon Barkley remained out of practice Monday, recovering from a hamstring injury. Biggest hamstrings in the NFL. Has to be. Have you seen his legs?
Barkley?
Oh, my God.
But
it reminds me of Earl Campbell. Remember back in the day when everyone would compare like car tires to Earl Campbell's thighs? That's how Saquon Barkley is.
Everybody ogling about Saquon Barkley's leg size and everything like that.
It's crazy.
The bottom line is just let him get the job done. I mean, if he does.
Yeah, but he's a freak of nature when it comes to that, though. Would you want to have to tackle that? I would not.
I think the most amazing thing about all of it is how quick and elusive he is with sticks that big.
Yeah.
Yeah.
News out of Buffalo Bills camp. Josh Allen will work with the first team. And Nathan Peterman will start taking some second team reps.
Well, they don't like Peterman. So they're also exploring, kicking the tires on who might still be out there quarterback-wise. There's another possibility
for Bridgewater. Yeah.
Because of the fact that McCarron's getting a second opinion, but A.J. McCarron was ruled with a stress fracture at the collarbone after the Cincinnati preseason game last week.
That leads me into my next note. So it says Bills' A.J. McCarron did not fracture his collarbone in week two, as was originally reported, according to a source. So I guess they're going to get that second opinion, figure out what it is, but apparently it is not fractured.
No, that's good news for them.
But if you're Bridgewater, wouldn't you want to stay where you're at in the event that this Darnold situation just goes south?
It's going to be years, though. That's the problem. It's going to be years before they bail on Sam Darnold if he's not the guy because they invested a top pick in him. So you're not going to just, it's been six games and he sucks. Let's go to Bridgewater. Plus, they like McCown because he knows the system and he's been around and he was productive last year. So they feel like they can get some assets for Bridgewater because he's looked so good so far. So unfortunately, if it was just McCown and a bunch of dudes, then I think so. But they have too much invested in Darnold to have to.
Yeah, it was just something I was thinking about. I was wondering, what if he really craps the bed? But you do make a good point in that they invested a lot in him.
Yeah. He's going to have a long leash.
But what if he performs like Brock? Like he's just really, really bad. Do you still hang with him for a couple of years? Most probably.
You have to. Yeah, you have to let him develop because he's young. He's a kid. He'll figure it out. And then three years in, that's when you go, no, he never figured it out. A couple more news and notes. Ryan Fitzpatrick, who you mentioned in the previous segment about Jameis Winston and the Bucks. Bucks, Ryan Fitzpatrick is still in line to start week one. I don't think that's a big surprise there. Some people thought Griffin might be able to make some noise, but he's had a strong preseason, but probably won't start. And then LeSean McCoy did not participate in practice Monday. Sore groin.
We still have no ruling on his whole deal, right?
I've not heard, no.
I have not heard either. Like, and now she's suing him and one of his buddies who she thinks was the guy that actually broke into the house. But the NFL has said nothing. And, forget fantasy football. You're the Bills. You need to know if you're going to have your best player on the field offensively.
Yeah, that would help.
Yeah, and if not, I need to figure out if I can do some things to bring some guys in to have some backup plans. So, I mean, that's one thing to explore. The other thing, Nick, that you got to keep in mind with Bridgewater is he's on a one-year deal. So it's a one-year deal with the Jets. So whoever gets him, it's almost like making a trade at the deadline for a guy who's going to be a free agent at the end of the year. You don't want to give up the farm for Bridgewater if you're not assured that you're also going to be able to re-sign him long-term. Because if you're Teddy Bridgewater, kind of to the point you were making too, do I want to go to a place where I'm an insurance policy? Do I want to go to a place where I'm a backup plan? Or do I want to go to a place where they think I can be the starter now and in the future and I can take the reins? Cleveland used to be that destination city. Mm-hmm. It no longer is because they have two viable quarterbacks, as we've seen. But there are still teams out there where you're like, and to your point again, Nick, where you can get a guy that you look at and go, this guy may be the starter now, but I'm better than him. And two, I don't know how long he's going to last. I can, even if I'm not given the starting role right away, I can get it pretty quick.
Yeah, and I guess his mentality is going to kind of help dictate where he's going to go. Like, is he okay, just like you mentioned, is he okay with being an insurance policy? Or does he want to play for a team that absolutely believes in him long term? And I don't know where he's at. I don't know if he wants to prove himself more, or he feels like he has to, or he's ready. He thinks he's proved himself enough to a point where he gets a long-term deal. And I don't know if he has.
I feel like with Bridgewater, it's not about proving his ability because he did that before the injury. I think it's proving that he has fully recovered.
Proving his health.
From the injury.
Yeah. Because I felt like he was on the right track. I mean, that was a good Minnesota team. And then you thought, they're in trouble. They just happen to have a quarterback whisperer on staff to get them through that and not suffer any setbacks when they lost Bridgewater. But to me, if I'm a team, it's not about ability. I think he's got that. It's just about, is he going to be fully healthy? Has he fully recovered and not show any signs?
Let me give you destinations where he should go.
Okay.
Buffalo is one of them because we just talked about that, right? I think Kansas City's another one because they've said Mahomes has looked lost. And maybe, just maybe, even though it's not long-term, they know Mahomes is the guy that they've pegged to be the quarterback of the future. But at least there's no Alex Smith in the wings there that at least you know you got a chance to slide in, you know, as the case may be, so that there is an opportunity for you at least to play, and then you can earn your money for the next contract that you might get. So I think those are possibilities. How about Indianapolis? We don't know about Andrew Luck, although they already have Brissett.
Yeah, plus, I mean, I don't think you're giving up on Luck. He missed, what, damn near 2 years? He's Andrew Luck. It's a whole different level of some of the other guys that we're talking about.
Spot on too with the Giants. Yeah. Because regardless, Giants I think
make
when,
a lot of sense
when, and when Eli's money runs out and you got a young running back and you want to pair him with a young quarterback, you don't want to pair him with the guy
it's not like you're taking a huge risk. Again, you're taking that injury risk that can he fully recover, and the more time that goes by, the more he'll recover. So by the time Eli gets phased out and Bridgewater gets phased in, he might be fully recovered and healthy again. You know the skill set is there.
Right.
You know he has the ability to be a potential franchise QB. Health is the question.
I got one more
He's
for
got
you.
Some time. Yeah.
Miami.
Not a bad choice
Ryan
either.
Ryan Tannehill is a guy that's basically running out of chances.
Yep.
I think there's a guy where you go, well, we don't have to start from scratch if we could get a Teddy Bridgewater.
Not a bad idea.
All right, we're going to continue to roll on. We're in the final hour of the show, and we appreciate you being a part of it. If you're a usual suspect, you know how to reach us. But if you don't, 713-780-3776, HRNP Listener Line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. Back with more. It's the usual suspect. It's ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1.
Check it. Come experience what 25 years of perfection tastes like at Saltgrass Steakhouse. Proud sponsors of the ESPN 97.5 app. Download it today. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back on The Usual Suspects, final hour of the show. Appreciate you being along for the ride. Hopefully we're entertaining you as you go along with your day. And wherever you might be on a drive, work-related or otherwise.
Let me get to these texts real quick. So a couple of texts. Okay. Somebody said, I just got a new job. Oh, not somebody. This is all texting, no tweeting.
Okay.
He said, I just got a new job. Thank you guys for keeping me laughing through the difficult job search process. Congratulations to you, sir. That is a difficult thing to go through, and we're happy for you. So good for you. Just don't stop listening when you get to work.
That's right. And tell a friend.
Yeah. Is Adrian Peterson going to be productive in Washington? This is a fantasy question more than anything. I would bet no.
I would, you know, you kind of brought it up too. I mean, look, there's a certain point where you fall off a cliff as a running back, and there's a reason why when the Vikings gave up on him that they did. And you mentioned it when you looked up the numbers. I mean, he was averaging
about 3.1.
Yeah. So, you know, I think you're lucky if you get 3.1 out of him. Their offensive line isn't stellar. But the good news is they have backups because they have Perine. They've got some guys that can still tote the rock. But again, the other thing you got to worry about is remember what happened with Adrian Peterson in New Orleans, Clarence. When you've got two other running backs to deal with and he gets a little pissy, then he starts going at the coach because he wants the ball.
Yeah. I feel like there's enough ahead of him on the depth chart where he's probably a guy that's going to get some, you know, a few carries here and there. He won't be the man. I just don't think he's past that point.
Will he be happy with that?
No. Oh, definitely not. But
this is the Carmelo Anthony situation in football.
From a fantasy perspective, this is going to be an RB3 or 4 for you.
Now, he's a power back, so he might get carries on the goal line, but he's even proven in that case he didn't have the explosiveness he once had to get over the line of scrimmage or get through a hole to get that 1 yard you need. But if you look at it, it's similar to a Carmelo Anthony situation. Like, he's on a different plane in his career. He's at a different path. So is he willing to take a lesser role or be a role player and do different things? We're waiting to see what happens with Carmelo with the Rockets, but from an Adrian Peterson perspective, everywhere he's been since he's been the man, he gets very, very upset, complacent, and disgruntled when he's not getting enough carries.
Yeah, P. Ryan's had some, I guess, ankle issues or foot issues. I think you're probably that Redskins depth chart is probably Thompson, Kelly, Peterson, P. Ryan, depending on how healthy Samaje P. Ryan comes in to the season and how long those injuries linger. But I mean, Thompson is your RB1, I think, and then Kelly's probably your RB2 on the Redskins. So
that's who they definitely like that both of those younger guys.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's a good.
Story I wouldn't waste an
for
early
the
pick.
NFL.
If you got
a fantasy perspective, absolutely not.
If you're filling out a bench in the last couple of rounds, it might be worth a flyer, but just don't expect much. I mean, I'm not wasting an early round pick on Peterson. That's for sure.
No,
but we can certainly ask Sigmund Bloom on Thursday.
Yeah,
he'll be joining us at 2:30. So if you remember, which I won't, but if you remember, text the question at 2:30 on Thursday, and we'll ask.
Yeah, he'll break
Sigmund
it down
Bloom
like a mother
thoughts.
In a short period of time.
Yep.
So no doubt about that. Yeah, definitely. So lots of news and notes going on in football. Texans. I did a sports map video that should probably come out either tonight or tomorrow morning. But the one thing is everybody's been asking and clamoring, and we even kind of touched on how everybody got so excited about Deshaun Watson because he had one series. But the bigger thing for me is you should only be worried about the regular season. Everybody's worried about, well, how much is Clowney going to play against the Rams? Well, how much is Watson going to play? I don't care if they play at all because it means nothing. Make sure they're practicing. Make sure they're getting their work in. Make sure the coaches are pleased with where they are. And then make sure they're ready for New England. Other than that, the last thing I want to see happen is have those guys on the field against a really good football team in the Rams. And especially from a Watson perspective, and I know Aaron Donald's out, but the last thing you want is for have Deshaun go up against a defense like that with, oh, by the way, a guy in Wade Phillips that probably wouldn't mind sticking it to the Texans a little bit. Don't take any risks.
You think he does something like that, something silly in the preseason? I don't know that he would.
Maybe not in the preseason, but best believe that Wade has a calendar in his back pocket and a schedule and knows whenever he's playing one of his former teams. And he has a little something extra for him. And when he's got the weapons he's got in L.A., he can do some things.
Yeah. I have a feeling you'll probably get a pretty healthy dose of Deshaun Watson, and then you won't see him in week 4 of the preseason.
Well, that's what they'd like to do.
Yeah.
And again, for all you people, and this goes back to the Jerry Rocha show, for all you people that are all geared up and psyched up for the Cowboys and the Texans in week 4 of preseason.
Oh, Lord.
Slow your roll, people. Yeah. It's not going to be a game.
It's not.
It's going to be a battle for who makes the roster in the second and third strings and special teams. That's what you're getting.
I honestly may not even watch that game.
Well, I mean, agree with you. But if you want that precision broadcasting, then you'll tune in.
No. Okay. Precision broadcasting.
God, those guys are ass clowns.
What?
They keep force-feeding Drew Doherty on everyone. And whether he's the sideline reporter, their internet guy, their in-stadium guy, it's just like, okay, I mean...
Not a fan,
no.
Joel? Okay.
Just, they're hard to listen to. Spencer's okay.
I like Spencer.
But even Spencer sometimes gets a little bit off the beaten path.
Does he?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll have to pay attention next time.
I kind of am trained to, so you know how it goes.
Yeah.
Do your Robert Ford again because it's fantastic. No. I do. I really enjoy your Robert
Don't
Ford.
Don't mock me.
No, I'm serious. No, I think you do a good Robert Ford.
You're mocking me right now, and I won't stand for it.
I don't know if you saw this or not, but a couple things. One, Michael Lombardi, a football executive who's now writes for The Athletic on football, was on Rich Eisen's show. One thing he had to do was go back and say that he was a complete ass clown for saying that Doug Peterson was the least qualified to ever coach an NFL team last year. And then, oh, by the way, Peterson wrote a book after they won the Super Bowl and called him out on it. So he had to kind of come back and say, okay, yeah, my bad. I was wrong.
Oops.
In the process, he also went on to make his predictions for this year's Super Bowl. And I will say, you people in Houston cannot hate on me for bringing this audio up because you'll see.
What do you got for me?
I like Houston. I love Houston. I love Houston's team. I think I love Deshaun Watson. I've loved Deshaun Watson, you know, since he was at Clemson. And on Dabo Sweeney naming him Michael Jordan, I think that kid's going to be great. And I think he's going to continue to make that team great. And that team's culture is built around this kid's attitude. I think they're going to be a tough out for a lot of teams.
What do you got for me in the NFC?
That's the wild card. There's so many good teams in the NFC. I love Mike Zimmer's Minnesota Vikings. I think they play in such a way. But I think the Green Bay Packers, they did not look good on defense last week. And so Mike Pettine's got a challenge ahead of him.
Although the kid Josh Jackson looks like the real deal, though.
But they get better, but they get the best player, one of the best players in the league coming back.
Me too.
Whenever you add him back to your roster. So, you know, I think Green Bay, Houston, I think it's going to be a fun – that's what I'm saying. I think we're missing how great the league is right now. Aaron Rodgers is back.
First of all, I feel like that audio was only played for one reason.
Did you really and feel like I set you only. Up with that?
For one person.
I said it because the Texans were picking the AFC. That's huge.
We'll get to that in a second.
All right.
First of all, anytime someone goes on any show – And their pick is the Green Bay Packers to make the Super Bowl. If there's audio, you best believe it's airing on this show.
I don't know if it's airing, but it'll be on the rundown as a possibility. Because this is not the first time we've heard this, Tony Romo and others.
I'm not going to hate on you. Second of all, anyone picking the Texans to make the Super Bowl and represent the AFC is...
There's Nick's rebuttal.
Obviously smoking some crack.
I think it's a little premature.
Some really good crack.
I'm all for the Texans being better than 4-12, and I think they will be. But teams don't make it to the Super Bowl that can't protect their quarterback. That's just not a thing that occurs a lot in the NFL. And a guy that's already been injured a couple of times between college and his pro career, they're going to have to get a lot better on that offensive line in order for them to be legit contenders for the Super Bowl. Not maybe sneaking in, you know, 9-7, 10-6, and making a wild card or winning their division or whatever might happen. I'm talking legit run at the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
I think that offensive line holds up enough to make that happen.
From having talk like that, but it is nice to have them in the discussion. But again, everything is now centered on the health of one guy.
Well, and the one X factor is, and we saw it last year in six games, but he sure can make an offensive line appear to be better than they are.
Yep.
And that's, I think, most people can see that in him.
DW4.
But can he do that? God, don't you start that with me. I will cut your mic cord.
But how great is it for a city to have CP3 and DW4?
Somebody said the other day on text line, I deleted it, but I was like, why does that sound like WD-40?
That's what I said. I said it deleted.
It does.
Yeah.
It's too many syllables. That's the problem.
It really is.
Yeah. Now stop it. Yeah. That whole audio.
A little premature.
Could, yeah.
Oh, I don't know what you're talking about.
Both sides.
Okay. Well, we got a half hour to go in the show. Don't go anywhere. It's much more of the usual suspects. Eastman 97.5, Sports Prep 94.1.
Well, you can tell everybody. Yeah, you can tell everybody.
This is the Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, welcome back to The Usual Suspects. It's Joel, Barry, and Nick with you until 4 o'clock when the Blitz takes over. That was my radio voice. Did that sound official?
It's wacky morning, Zoom.
Right now, we play the name game. And if you guys don't know, if you don't know what the name game is, you obviously haven't been paying attention. So I don't know what your problem is, but get with the program. There you go. Name game is where we give you two names. If one of those names is your name and you're the first caller, then you win the prize of the day. Today's prize, a $50 gift card to Hotels.com. Boy, I need this. A $50 gift card to Hotels.com. With the Hotel.com Labor Day sale, you can save up to 40% if you book by September 3rd and travel by September 27th. Hotels.com. You do you and get rewarded. Unfortunately, we are not the show giving away the $50 gift card today. That was John and Raheel with Dell. They gave it away to Caesar. So congratulations to Caesar for being the first caller and winning the prize of the day on the name game, which was a $50 gift card to Hotels.com.
Congratulations, Caesar.
That's right. Play every day. Listen every day. So cool.
And understand that we don't have the pull that you think we do when people that have legitimately initials for names ask us to make sure that they do those too.
Yeah, we can't.
We can't
do
that.
We don't have any. No. Nothing. Why is everyone going? Here's the problem. All right. So I saw this in the rundown that you put about the Browns and the fact that the Browns are everyone's dumping money on them.
Mm-hmm. Not to win the Super Bowl now. They're dumping money on them to win the division.
They're 7-1 at Caesars Books to win the AFC North and 20-1 to win the AFC Championship. But this quote from Caesars Palace, the manager of the sports book, said, "There are more bets on the Browns to win the AFC North than the other three teams combined. Only the Raiders and Steelers have more bets to win the AFC. The public likes the Browns, and I'm not sure why."
I know why.
Hard Knocks.
Yep.
People watch Hard Knocks, and they think, oh, because of the magic of editing, they think, oh, well, this team is legit. I mean, they thought the same thing about the Texans.
Now, they are.
Nope.
Mayfield has been impressive. Tyrod Taylor is a decent quarterback.
In practice.
No, even in the preseason games.
Which is practice.
But it's vanilla defense, right?
Yes.
So it's one thing to say they're going to be improved, right? They didn't win a game last year, so they're going to have a better season.
Here's what I'll give you on Baker Mayfield. Some of his throws have been impressive. He fits the ball into pretty tight window
on a couple of his. He's pretty damn good.
Yeah, well, a couple of his touchdown passes in week one were pretty impressive when you think about the throw he had to make. He could only put the ball in one spot, and he did that. There was that slant that ended up going for a touchdown that he threw that was a tight window that he had to fit the ball in. So I'll give you that. But again, lots of man defense, lots of vanilla pass rushing. Not a lot of stunts. You're not going to see a lot of crazy stuff from defenses. So that's going to change for a rookie. So it's going to get more difficult. If I'm making bets, I'm certainly not making bets on the Browns to win the AFC.
Like I said,
the
Steelers are there.
Yeah, the North. That's crazy enough because of the Steelers, but okay, if Big Ben gets hurt, Antonio Brown, I mean, if
Le'Veon Bell holds out.
Yeah, okay, maybe that might happen, but the whole AFC, that's wild.
First of all, it's really a stretch to think that they're going to win the AFC, but I think that, like I said, I think everybody gets on the hype train because of Hard Knocks.
Yep.
But from what you've seen, the good news is they're on the rise. They're not going to have a winless season. They look like they've got some players. Their young players are finally starting to show the promise that they were where they were drafted and why they were drafted. They made some savvy football moves and trades and things that they've done in the offseason too. And like I said, in the first two preseason games, the quarterbacks have looked like they finally got a grasp on that instead of, you know, grasping at straws with 85 different guys over a couple years. But all that being said, it's the Steelers.
Yeah.
And the Bengals weren't just terrible. They still have a serviceable quarterback. They've got a running game. They have AJ Green. They have some guys, right? There's competition within the division, let alone to try and think that they're going to win the AFC. But the hype train is all provided by Hard Knocks.
Yeah, exactly. This is a team that was 0-16 last year. They didn't win a single game. And now people are betting money that they win the AFC North? I'm sorry. That's not how things work.
I mean, we haven't looked at their schedule, but I mean, where do you think they finish?
I'll pull up their schedule right now. Week one, Steelers loss.
Right. Where?
At home.
That helps, but I still say Steelers.
Yeah. Week two, the Saints.
Loss.
I'll take the Saints. Yeah, they're starting 0-2. Week three, the Jets.
Win.
You think they beat the Jets?
I think they beat the Jets.
Okay. Week four, the Raiders.
Loss.
Yeah. So they're starting off 1-3 if you think they beat the Jets.
You don't think they do.
We'll see. Ravens, week 5.
Win.
Okay. Chargers, week 6.
Loss.
That's 2. So they're 2 wins, and they're supposed to win.
I didn't
win
say they're going to win the division.
I know. The Bucks.
Win.
Steelers.
Loss.
Chiefs.
Win.
Well, I think they lose that for sure.
No,
Falcons.
Mahomes is terrible.
Falcons. Loss.
Loss.
Bengals. On the road.
Loss.
Okay. Texans on the road.
Loss.
That was just to piss people off. Panthers.
Loss.
Broncos on the road.
On the road hurts them. I'd give them a shot.
Last two games, Bengals at home and the Ravens on the road.
I think they win those two.
So, you don't even have them finishing 500.
I agree.
Yeah. So I don't understand what are people seeing?
Do you agree with me, right? You got to lose and let. I mean, you playing worse than that.
Yeah, yeah. I have them being worse than what you did. Yeah. So, I mean, I think we said on here over under at 5 games or 5.5.
Yep.
And I would take 5. I think they can win 5 games.
That's fair.
Yeah. So,
and again, it's kind of like,
I don't know what people are saying.
It's kind of like Texans in the Super Bowl talk. The expectations are just a little too high. I mean, expect the team to make progress. Expect the team to be on the right path. Absolutely. In both cases. But expecting those kind of out of this world grandiose expectations, that's where you get yourself in trouble.
Yeah.
And when you're in Vegas, you're putting money on that?
Yeah, the Steelers alone, dude. I can't. I was looking at their O-line. I mean, they got a sick O-line. I think they got 2 Pro Bowlers on that O-line. I don't know,
unless,
man,
it's good value, which I don't even think 7-to-1 odds isn't that good of value. Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Yeah. I'm not a gambling guy.
I will say this, though. If you're Joe Thomas, you might have not retired.
Yeah.
Because you could help them, and you'd actually have a team that would actually be fun to play with.
Could be. Yeah.
J-Dog wants to get in here. He's been waiting a while. We appreciate it. Wants to talk about penalties. What's up?
J-Dog, what's up, man?
Hey, what's happening, guys?
What's up, man?
Hey, I just called a piggyback on what you were saying yesterday. Barry. Yeah, man, I mean, they have to take account for that themselves sometimes, too. I mean, you know the sport you're playing. You know, you go out there. It's a physical contact sport. And to me, we're crying about, you know, simple tackles when we support sports like MMA and boxing, you know. So that was that. And also, I called in this morning to the Granado, Raheel, and Dale show. Make sure you guys send Dale a couple of dollars because he's going to have a rough couple of days out there. All right, appreciate y'all.
Are they expecting storms in Hawaii?
A rough couple of days. What?
I don't know. On vacation in Hawaii because he sent back pictures from his hotel room overlooking the water and everything, saying, "Yeah, I really miss the 2 reflux twins clearing their throat." As opposed to this.
Hurricane Lane expected to hit Hawaii, direct hit.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that sucks.
Juggalo Trey, you may be producing the morning show next week.
Lane impacts into Wednesday. Large swells, rough surf, increasing showers, gusty winds. Yeah. Ugh.
That's not good, kids.
No, it looks like it could get ugly out there. I wouldn't even realize that. Yeah, that sucks. It's a category. They're expecting it to be a Category 3 when it makes landfall.
That's also not good.
No.
Back to J-Dog, too, real quick. You and I were both on this. But the fact of the matter is no matter how you look at it, when the players who are the ones that are concerned about CTE and the long-term effects of playing in the NFL, when the players are the ones saying, you can't make it flag football. You just can't get guys to do what you're expecting them to do. And now you're hearing that the league is changing their videos, I don't care how many times you change the video in the presentation. It's the rule itself that needs to change.
Yeah. There's a certain amount of inherent risk in the sport.
It's absolutely. Just
like J-Dog said it perfectly. Not an example that I used, but it's a great example. It would be like if a boxer or a guy that fights MMA says, hey, look, I sustained some you know, brain injury, some CTE because of this sport. It's not safe. You kind of knew that going in, though. The whole issue is the cover-up. It's not the sport itself. The sport itself is violent. You know that. That's what you sign up for.
Do more in terms of the helmets.
Yeah, do more of the technology.
Yeah, and the technology for the safety aspect, and less on the fact that if a fullback makes a block but his head makes contact first, you get a 15-yard penalty on the offense. That's a bit much.
P. Randizzle said, I said in the studio at the listener party, and I stand by it. Browns will make the playoffs. I was right about the Jags and the Raiders the year before, but I caught hell every time. Okay. We'll see.
Barry's waiting for your bet, P. Randizzle. Lay it on the table, baby.
Yeah.
All right, we'll be back with the final segment of the show. Don't go anywhere. It's the usual suspects.
Need a new restaurant?
And SportsMap 94.1. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back for the final segment of the big show. Barry, Nick, and Joel. ESPN 97.5, SportsMap 94.1. Trey along for the ride. Appreciate that, I think.
Pat, P. Rain Dizzle wants to bet Cowboys and Indians lunch. That now, are we going... that was good job, Trey. Good job, bud. Are we going wild card, or do they have to win in the division? I think it's almost unfair if I put him on having to win the division. He said they'll make the playoffs, so I'm going to say wild card.
You just said too much. I would have left that on him.
Yeah.
Well, and if he was as confident he sounded like he was.
Yeah, that's true. But you got to have... We got to have the parameters. So, you know what? If they make the playoffs, whether it's a wild card or otherwise.
What do you have to lose?
Yeah, nothing. All right, you're on, Patrick Randall.
And I got it's a three lunch. Or four course lunch.
Oh, I'm going to eat. Oh, my
That's
God.
That's what I'm saying. You get the like red velvet king. Cake. You get the appetizer. Oh, I am going to eat. You get two entrees.
I can't wait to.
You get to bring wings to
empty,
Nick.
I'm going
to
empty the kitchen and his wallet.
Nick's going to try the peanut butter sriracha wings.
Oh, we did have a question on the text line. It's a fantasy question for Nick. Can you train a dog to apply peanut butter?
There's 7 minutes left in the show.
If you missed it.
7 minutes left
if
in the
show. If you missed it, I highly recommend you go back to hour number one on podcastarena.com and listen. We found out some things about Nick and his dog and peanut butter that we didn't know about.
Spooning.
And it was disturbing and not surprising a little bit. I'm gonna not going to lie. But we found out a bunch about Nick and his dog. So
everything is true except for the peanut butter.
Hour part. One.
Everything else is
Nick
spooning.
And his dog are bougie. You're bougie.
I mean, you're
camping in a cabin and your dog is staying at a resort. What part of that is not bougie? Please tell me.
I got nothing for you. I got like zero. I got nothing for you.
At least you own it.
I'm just going to tell you this. Be lucky you only got one.
Oh, there's no way I'm getting five dogs like you. You got a zoo of dogs at that house. There's no way.
Yeah, no I got a buddy of way. Mine that thankfully will stay at the house and take care of them most times. But if we have to put them up because we're going to California and got to take Taylor on a plane and do all that other stuff, we pay more in...
I bet.
Putting the dogs
do you give them? Do you just, get them sweets or do you get?
No,
you put them in the cage?
God.
You just
no.
put them in the cage?
No, because
so just leave her in the cage?
It might be cheaper. We know and trust that we've been going to for a long time that they spend most of their time in... There's two rooms with the cameras so that you have what you want. They have the big dog room and the little dog room, and you can log on it from your phone and you can find out... You can see them at any time and see that they're not getting in fights and they're hanging out and whatever. And they only use like the cages to go eat. There's a backyard where they go out and do their business, and they get walked and stuff. So
it might
you don't
be cheaper
need
to just have them put down.
First of all, if Lisa is listening,
she's gonna hate you for life.
Woo! Oh my gosh! And it would be cheaper though. What happened? What happened? What did he say? What did he say?
It's what you just said.
Are you still laughing? Are you laughing at what Trey said?
No, what you said. It'd still be cheaper.
Ridiculous. I mean, it would. Listen, Barry, do you perform at birthday parties? My daughter turns one in November. Let me just stop you right there.
Yeah, he does. He does.
Let me stop you right there.
Hit him up on Twitter.
Based I would on popular never... demand after his festival in California, he is now
they did
doing
say...
kids shows and standing room only shows.
It does say, my daughter turns one in November. I was looking to book you. Should be a bigger crowd than the festival. That's... No,
Love
I would
the
never
fact
do
that
a
our
1 year old.
Listen and remember.
I would That's never good. Do a birthday party like that. I did do that one Pakistani gentleman in Austin.
Yes, you did.
Which you well. Said
and
you enjoyed.
His birthday too.
It was kind of fun, actually. Yeah. Huh?
And you did his birthday too.
Shut your mouth. You shut your damn mouth.
Hey, I put this on the rundown for depending on how you look at it. Got what you getting what you deserved. I don't think there should be anything done, but there are reports that Larry Nassar, the doctor from the U.S. gymnastics case as well as the Michigan State case, has to be shuffled between federal prisons now because of reports of inmate assault.
Oh, let me feel sorry for him.
Time's Leave up. Him where he is.
Don't care. I really don't care.
He deserves all of it and more.
Yeah.
Is the general population is where they're trying to put him at, and general population folks don't take too kindly.
Snitches to like and that. Molesters.
Yeah, so I don't know if the new location that he's being sent to is going to be any better, but I feel like a part of it is intentional, and it should be. I feel like it's intentional. I think he's just
I feel like there's got to be one guy out there that would just lose the paperwork. Just be like, oh, we got to transfer him. It's for his own good and his safety. Oh, sure, no problem. Oh, I don't know where I put those papers. We're going to have to start this all over again. I don't know. This is the damnedest thing. They keep getting lost. I don't know.
The attorney had the nerve to blame it on the judge for saying that. Remember when she said, I just signed your death warrant?
Yeah.
And that's the reason why he's getting harassed and stuff like that. Oh,
yeah. I feel so bad for him.
No one does.
No. Nor should they.
Within Nor hours they. Of being released into the general population at the prison, he was assaulted by fellow inmates at the U.S. Good. Penitentiary in Tucson. Well, how Good. Severe was the assault, and where can we get him more?
Yeah, I don't. There's few child molesters that I'll feel sorry for. Actually, there's probably none. I mean, let's be real.
It's not even a few.
Yeah.
On a side note, maybe not unrelated, several prisoners asked for peanut butter on the menu in the next coming days.
I don't even know why they would, like, dude, you're in prison. That's what you did this to you.
Exactly.
Why protect the guy at this point? You did this to you. It's not like there's dudes in prison because they got caught with pot back when that was a big deal to get caught with pot. That's the guys I feel sorry for. This cat? Nah, I don't. Mm-mm.
It's funny you guys talking about that because I was reading a story about a guy who committed robbery in, I want to say 1966. He was a Connecticut native. He drove on a road trip to Georgia, commits a robbery, gets caught, gets sentenced 17 years, right? Then he does 2 years of the time, literally escapes from jail by just driving off the property.
Wow.
Has someone gives him a ride from somewhere in Georgia to the airport, buys a ticket at the airport, flies back to Connecticut, is unheard of for the next 48 years. Then he gets caught because he applies for Social Security under the new name.
What?
They send him back, but at this point he's like 71, organ failure, heart failure, like all kinds of just. And they said, you know what? I felt like I served my time. I never got in trouble. They let him go, and then 6 weeks later, he died.
So he got out?
Yeah, they sent him back to Georgia. He said, I may not even make the trip to jail because he has so many health problems.
Yeah.
Like, he became a boat service mechanic, an instructor at high school. Like, no one ever knew for 48 years.
Wow.
The big question is, do you let him go? He had 17-year sentence.
When do the courts get lenient like that?
No.
And just let him go?
Did he serve his time?
I say
no,
let him go.
He didn't serve his time.
Just no.
17 years? He was driving a getaway car.
It doesn't matter.
I don't know.
You were sentenced.
You know what the sentence was.
I'm letting him go. He's 71, dude. The biggest question that you ask if and when someone's released from prison is he going to be a repeat offender? Is he going to be a threat to society? Is he going to hurt somebody? How violent was his crime?
That's a good point.
And for 17 or 48 years, he did none of that.
Well, that he got caught. You don't know.
Granted, part of the reason why that he wasn't doing anything is because he knew he was a fugitive.
He had to lay low. Yeah. If he didn't, would he?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Somebody wants to know, do I do baptisms? Stop it. I'm not doing y'all's weird-ass parties. No. I'm not coming and performing. I'm not some street weirdo that you do. Hey, come work my... No, that's not how this works. I'm a professional. Stop sending me stupid ass ideas.
And intimate venues.
No. Stop sending me dumb ideas for shows. I'm not doing it.
Nor should you.
No.
Hey, we appreciate you being along for the ride. It's been fun. And hey, tomorrow's Way Back Wednesday. Trey didn't do his job. Therefore, we don't have ours. We don't have a theme for Way Back Wednesday. Well, we'll think of one. That means more text messages tonight and tomorrow and a list that may get put together in the last minute again. So we'll have fun with that. So will you. Don't go anywhere. The Blitz is next. Y'all have a great night, everybody.